ahead and get with the word this morning. I'm so excited what the Lord put in my heart for all of you. And those of you who are regulars on Wednesdays, if you're not, I invite you to come out Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. We always have a special time on Wednesdays. It's kind of like real intimate, and the Spirit of the Lord really moves in such a special way. And one of the things that we've really been declaring over our church and over the lives of people who go here is that God is shifting us into a new season. And it's time to begin to believe God for the miracles in your life, the breakthrough in your life. You know, we can't keep living every day the way we've always thought about the Lord moving in our life. We have to expect something new. Everybody say, expect something new. God wants to do a new thing in your life. He is moving by His Spirit. I shared Wednesday night with the group that during our 21-day fast in January, I wrote down 10 things in my journal that I really wanted from the Lord. I wish now I would have asked for a lot more, but I only asked for 10 things. And I stumbled across my journal. You know, when God moves us in the suddenlies, when we have that breakthrough in our life, if you can look back and identify, there's really been moments that God's been setting you up for the suddenlies. And it's so good for us to look back and remember and see what God has been doing so that you know He's not inactive in your life. No matter how you feel right now, or maybe where you don't feel God, or maybe you emotionally feel like God isn't moving, I promise you, He is moving on your behalf. He's moving in ways in the unseen, and we have to believe by faith that it's happening. And so I happened across my journal, and there was the things that I was believing the Lord for. And I went down the list, and I went, check, that happened, check, that happened. I went all the way down my list, and there was only 3 things that have not manifested yet since January. So I want to encourage you. And I said, man, Lord, I wish I'd have put a lot more on that list. You know, we got to put our expectancy out there. We've got to put our faith net out there and begin to believe God for the impossible, because God will move through your faith. He will move through what you're believing Him for. I don't know if you have things that written down that you're believing God for, but I encourage you this week, husbands and wives, or individually, open up your notebook and you begin to write down. The Bible says to write the vision plainly so those who read it can run with it. So I encourage you, what do you want from the Lord this year? What is your needed breakthrough, your miracle? Or how about that place that God, you maybe you're serving the Lord and you get on that merry-go-round and you end up right back where you were last year? I'm not talking to everybody here. I know it's for the other people who didn't come to church today. We'll let them listen online. But we live this life, don't we? We end up right back where we left off. We end up discouraged. We end up defeated. We end up hopelessness, or we're in that same situation. And God wants you to get off that merry-go-round. He has healing and restoration for your life. He has miracles and breakthrough. The Bible says that He's not a respecter of persons. So if He'll do it for one, He's done it for everybody. So my message this morning, it may take the next couple weeks, but I really want to talk to you on the message called Joy Releases Restoration. God wants to restore some things in your life. He wants to restore joy. He wants to restore your peace. Some of us need marriages restored, finances restored. I don't know what was ripped away from your heart in this last season, but God is about to bring it back to you. And the Lord wants to give you His joy to fulfill His restoration. That's the wonderful thing about God, is He doesn't have us just crawl through broken glass and I've got to go through another miserable day. No, you can go through that dark closet trusting the Lord and have joy when you don't see Him. You can have joy when you don't feel Him. You can have joy when nothing has manifested in your life yet. You can have the joy of the Lord that is your strength. And what we're going to study this morning, it is actually that joy that catapults you into restoration. That you really can't get the breakthrough and the promise until you find joy. And we want it the other way around, don't we? Well, if I just had this in my life, I would have the joy of the Lord. And that's not the truth. Faith is walking in the unseen and believing and trusting God until it comes to pass. So I'm going to break down some scripture verses for you this morning, but I want you to understand that God wants to restore everything that was stolen, everything that was broken, and anything that's missing from your life. God wants to give it back to you. So let's open up to Proverbs 6, verse 31 this morning. You know, I love this scripture verse. I learned it years ago, and it says, and I think it's Psalms, that He fills your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of praise. And God wants to fill your mouth with laughter, not for natural circumstances being fulfilled, but because of his joy, because of his promises in your life. Amen. So Proverbs 6, verse 31 says this. Oh, actually, let me go over to my notes too. It says this: people, do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving. That word starving there means suffering. Do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. How many know that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy? Why? Because he's hungry to steal away your joy. He's hungry to take away your hope and your peace and your blessings and your miracles. The Bible says that the devil comes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The promises of God, they are yes, and they are amen. The word of God is signed, sealed, delivered. It is finished. It was settled on the cross. The word of God is acting and living and powerful in our life. But the enemy is on our tail, what? To try to steal from our lives. Why? To satisfy his hunger, to satisfy his thirst, to pull the believer away from their destiny, pull the believer away from their husband or their wife, to destroy your children's lives. He is a thief and he's hungry. But we are satisfied by the great I am, and no weapon formed against us can prosper. So we've got to see that, yeah, the devil's trying to steal from me, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He may be starving, but my God paid the bill. My God paid it all, amen? It is written on the cross. So don't despise the enemy when he comes, when he tries to discourage you, when he tries to remind you of your past. You know, I think the greatest weapon of the enemy is you can be going about your day and feeling fine, praising Jesus, maybe got a little skip in your step and a whistle, you know, just being happy in life, and all of a sudden a thought can come of what somebody did to you. And you're like, no, he didn't. That makes me so mad. And you just start, it's a real feeling, isn't it? You start almost having animosity. You start reliving that pain or that anger or whatever it is, because the only weapon a thief has is to remind you of your past, because he has no future. So you're living your life, and all of a sudden, maybe your spouse did this to you, and all of a sudden, you feel it in your gut again, and you start recognizing it. What is that? That's a thief that is hungry. And you have to recognize that there is a thief knocking on your door when he reminds you of your past, when he makes you feel worthless, when he makes you feel insignificant. He is a thief, and you have to run that thief out of your house. What? The temple of the Holy Ghost. You have to run the enemy out of your house, and you have to say, I have the great I am living on the inside of me. I've got the power of the Holy Spirit and devil. No weapon you can bring against me is going to prosper in my soul, my mind, my body, and my spirit. I am going to persevere to the joy of the Lord so that I can have restoration. The devil is a liar. He's a liar, and he will put a mirage of remembrance to get you to be bound to your past instead of to see your future. He says, so don't despise a thief. Don't get angry at the thief. Recognize what he's coming to do. And it goes on to say, yet when he is found, he must restore how much? Sevenfold. So how many know the devil's been found? He's been defeated. He is bound up. He has no power. He has no control. He has no authority. There's no magic witchcraft that you can do seances that makes the devil stronger. No, he is under our feet. He's defeated. We've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. So we've got to start demanding our right, that say, hey, the devil may have stole that, but he's got to give it back seven times. Seven times. Not just one restoration, but seven times. If the devil stole your marriage, this next marriage should be seven times greater. Seven times. That word restore means this. It is an action, right? So who's going to restore? The devil has to give it back because he took it from you. So everything that he's taken, he is on demand by the Spirit of God. He's got to give it back. That word restore is a verb. It is shalom. It is part of shalom, but it's shalom, and it means peace. It means to repay or to be finished or to end it. So when you are being stolen from the enemy, no matter how he knocks on your door, you've got to take Proverbs and say, but wait, you've got to repay it back to me. Not only do you have to give back to me what was stolen, but I'm going to get my peace back. I'm going to get my shalom back. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding in the middle of my storm because I know the great I am is moving on my behalf. That's the peace of God. That's what restore means. He says, I'm going to finish it. I'm going to put an end to whatever you're going through. Whatever pattern you've come to in your life, we all have our own patterns, don't we? We all have our things that we got to work on. We've got to say, I'm not going to have this pattern anymore. I'm going to let the Spirit of the Lord finish this once and for all. I'm going to let him end it once and for all. And I'm going to have the peace of God. And I'm going to say this, come on, bring it back. Give it back to me. Give me my joy 7 times. Give me my hope 7 times. Give me my relationships 7 times. Give me my ministry 7 times greater because it is the word of God. You can put a demand on God's word. Can't put a demand on your flesh or what you want, but you could put a demand on the word of God. Sevenfold. That means it overflows. That word sevenfold there means 7 times as much, which makes sense, but it means it's repeated 7 times. It's repeated 7 times. So if he stole from you financially, 1, thank you for that blessing. 2, thank you for that blessing. I got 5 more coming. 3, thank you for that blessing. 4, thank you for that blessing. 5, thank you for that blessing. 6, thank you for that blessing. 7, thank you for that blessing. Now my cup is overflowing. And the whole time I'm waiting, I'm in joy, I'm happy, I'm rejoicing, I'm dancing. And I have the peace of God because I know my Father is doing his word for me. Also, that word 7 times is so awesome, but it's even more powerful than what I just explained to you. I actually drew it on paper just to see, but it means double 7 times. So if you take 1, he stole something, he's got to give 1, right? But now he's got to double it, so he's got to give me 2 and 2, which equals what? 4. Now he's got to give me double that, which is 4 plus 4 is 8. 7 times, that's the multiplication that the word will come back and work for you. But what do? We put God right here. Oh, this is all I'm worth. This is all I can see for my life. This is all I'm valuable. No, write the vision down. Make it plain. What do you want from the Lord? You want a paid off house in full? Write that vision down. March around properties, declaring for the Lord. You want your children serving God? You want your marriage strong and successful? You want health in your bodies? You start telling the devil to give it back. 7 times 7, amen? So he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. We may have to empty his bank accounts to get back what belongs to mine. But what that word substance means, it means this: high value in price. So when the devil or when God gives it back to you through his power, it's not just, oh, here you go. No, it's the highest value. You may have sold low, but now you're going to give it back high. You're going to have a return on what you lost. You may have bought that house for $5,000, but when it comes time to resell it, you're going to sell it for $15,000. Amen? That's the dividends of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't make sense when he pays back. God doesn't line up 1 plus 1 equals 2. God does exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could think, dream, or imagine. It's the God that we serve. I was talking with the precious couple in the courtyard, and when you're believing God for things, sometimes we want God to just, here's the miracle. Here's the big picture. And God's not just like that big picture God. You don't just walk through like this spiritual veil and boom, there's the perfect world. No, he says, I build line upon line and precept upon precept. This promise of getting restoration is for people who will stay the course. I'm staying. All hell's coming against me. All resistance trying to stop me. The enemy's trying to discourage me, but I'm going to stay the course that God has ordained for my life, and I'm not going to quit. And all of a sudden, you're going to be at that next level, and you're going to stay the course, and you're not going to give up, and you're not going to quit. And then you're going to turn around. You're going to do it again. And all of a sudden, you'll look back in a year from where you are now, and you'll be only God. Only God could have brought me here. Only God could have caused me to love my husband like that. Only God could have given me favor at my job. Only God could have opened up that business opportunity. Only God. But I promise you, you're not going to walk out these doors today and get in your car and get some, you know, I mean, if you do, praise the Lord. Let's not minimize God, right? But that's a rarity that just, it happens. There's this walk of faith there's this place that God wants you to remain. God wants you to see the vision. Write it down. What do you want from the Lord? Put it on paper. Now you know what you're working for to being restored. God says God always anoints order. Always. When I put my life in order, now God has something to move on. So write down, what do you want? What kind of marriage do you want? What do you want your children looking like? What do you want to live in? I'm not talking about driving the big Mercedes and living in a 5,000 square foot home. I'm talking about being realistic in life. You want a beautiful home and it has grass in the backyard, you know? You want a house paid off in full. I believe God's going to do that for you too. I mean, there are these things that God wants for you. What do you want? Write it down. Now God has something to work on your faith because you put it in front of you and you're believing God for restoration. But we can't live every day blind, just, oh, whatever you want, God. God's like, no, write the vision down. Be specific. I swear I wish I'd have put more on my fasting list. I wish I would have. But we'll have another opportunity in August. We're going to do another 3-week fast. It's not going to be a full fast, though. It's going to be a different kind of social media, one meal a day. We'll present it to you. But we're going to do another mid-year fast. You know why? Because God is moving. God is moving supernaturally. He's shifting us, and we want to be in tune with what the Lord is doing in your life, in our lives individually, and in your families. Amen? So we're going to fast. Why? So we can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in this season, that you understand he's shifting. So it goes on. When he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house, the very best, the high price. You don't settle for less than God's best. You keep trusting the Lord and pressing through. Amen. Every believer should be in the midst of receiving supernatural restoration. Every one of us should be standing in our spiritual life in the midst of God supernaturally restoring something. What do you want restored? Be specific with the Lord. What do you want given back to you? In John 4:35, this is kind of our theme verse for this year. This is what God wants us to see. He says, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. God is saying, don't say, well, when God does it. Don't see it down the road. He's saying, don't wait until later, but what? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. He said, quit waiting for the sweet by and by for something to change. Quit waiting for your husband's disposition to change or your wife to whatever. No, quit waiting for those things. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of miracles. He's saying, lift up your eyes and look. That means we're looking somewhere else. I'm looking at my situation. I'm looking if this would just happen, if that. God says, get your eyes off of looking here and look up. Look up to your Redeemer. Look up to your Restorer. Look up to your Joy Giver. Lift your eyes and put them on Jesus, because Jesus is the author and he's the finisher of your faith. Anytime we're looking anywhere else, we're looking at mirages that we think can solve the problem. And Jesus said, I hung on that cross. I deserve the glory. I said it is finished. It is all about me. I am as a jealous God, and I will not have you serve no other. Man is not your provider. Your spouses aren't your joy givers, hope receivers. I'm single, and I am happy and full of joy. I want a man, don't need a man. Let's clarify that. Keep it clear, Jesus. I want God's man. But I'm complete and settled and happy and joy and peaceful. I don't need something that the world needs to give me to make me happier or complete or satisfied. I am satisfied by the great I am. And every one of us, if we were to pull our satisfaction from the Father, there's nothing from the world that God could even give us to make us happy. Because he says, don't worship the creation. Things, creation, what we drive, what we live in, those are all wonderful things God wants. He wants to bless you with those things. But he said, don't look to those things. Don't look to the creation. Look to me. I created you. I put my breath in you. I put my hope in you. I put my DNA in you. It's me. When you look up, I'll remind you who you are. And it's when we're looking that we can walk towards that blessing. Amen. For the harvest is already ripe. Your miracle is right there. It's through this veil of unbelief. It's through this veil of I could never get there. It's through this veil of fear. but whatever it is, it's just on the other side. So God says, look up. This time next week, I want all of you to be standing in the middle of expectation of restoration, supernatural restoration. That can happen this afternoon when you go home. You can get alone with the Lord and get with your Bible and your notebook and get in the center of expectation, supernatural expectation, not natural, supernatural, because that's what God is moving. That's a word for this body. It's a word of the Lord, but I believe it's a word for this body in season. The supernatural is opening up. God wants to show his power to your life because you've been faithful. You endured. You fought the good fight of faith. You were staying faithful to your post and giving and serving. And God says, I want to show you I'm God. When you didn't see me, you stood there. When you didn't feel me, you stood there. And God says, because of that, I'm going to move supernaturally on your behalf. Amen? And he wants to do it for you. All right. We have to, in this season, though, to have this restoration in our life, as we've got to have faith. Faith is required to obtain restoration. I want you to flip over to Hebrews 11, which is our faith book in the Bible. But Hebrews, James 11, in verse 1, I believe that's where I'm going. Look here. Yeah, 1. It says this, now faith is. Faith is not what you see in front of you. It's what's behind that veil of the unseen. So God's not going to show you the miracle and then manifest it. That's not faith. Faith is when I don't see it, I'm still going to believe it. Faith is I'm going to stand and wait for the promise even when I don't feel it or see it. That's faith. I prayed over our sweet sister. I saw her walking through the hallway in the dark just going like this. Sometimes that's all you can do when you serve Jesus. You're like, oh, Lord, I know you're right in front of me. I know this miracle is here. I don't know where the doorknob is, but I'm going to keep walking through this dark hallway because that's faith. I trust that at the end of this dark place, there is going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. I trust that God is standing there. His joy is standing there. His hope is standing at the end of that tunnel. But sometimes you just got to go like this. Said, now faith is, not tomorrow, not when you feel good, not when you get a good message and put a CD on and get your shout out in your house. No, now, right now, you can decide today, now I have faith. Now I'm not going to be moved. Now I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to put my feet down and I will not be moved. That's faith right now. And you know what? You may have to get up tomorrow and go, I'm putting my feet down again. Now faith is. And you may be about your job and get discouraged. Guess what? Now faith is. Faith isn't there anymore. It's right now because I'm kind of discouraged right now. I'm kind of defeated right now. So now faith is. Now I'm going to keep seeing the blessing of God. Whenever you don't see it, faith is now. Now I get to see it. Whenever you don't feel it, faith is now. I get to feel it. Because that's faith. He says, so now faith is the substance, right, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the what? Expectation. Faith is the substance of things that I'm expecting in my life. What have I been saying? Get your expectation out there. That's called faith. Get it out there with the Lord. That's my faith. It may be crazy to someone else, but I'm going to trust the Lord for it. I may be addicted to this thing my whole life, but I'm going to just put that expectation out there. And I'm going to have faith that I'm not going to be bound by this addiction any longer. I'm not going to be bound by this behavior anymore because I have faith that God's restoring what was broken in my life. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word substance means this. It means to stand under. It also means the title deed. The root idea is that of standing under is to claim the property, is to support its validity. Okay, let me do some English with that whole definition. That's what it sounded like in my head. I'm sure that's what it sounded like to you too. So faith is the what? Substance. It's the title deed. And it also means to stand under. So if I've got the title deed, it means I own it. I own it. So if you go in my safe, you know, it's locked up, I have a title to my car because I own my car. That car belongs to me. So I can pull that title deed to somebody. That ain't your car. You don't deserve to drive that car. Who said that was your car? Here's the paper and the proof that that thing belongs to me. Well, that is kingdom stuff. He says, now faith is the substance. I have the title deed. It means it belongs to me. I have the paper that says, yes, I have a great marriage. Yes, I have favor on the job. Yes, I have a business idea to create wealth for the kingdom of God. I have the title deed. Nobody can take it from me. But that word substance doesn't mean I just have the title deed. It means I stand under it. It means to come underneath. So you can have all the title deed. You own everything that's in heaven. Like Pastor Paul said, everything on heaven is, we can call it down here on earth. You own the title deed, but are you standing under it? Or is that thing tucked away and nobody can convince you that you really have the rights to the kingdom? Somebody can come along and tell you you're not good enough. You don't deserve the rights to God. You don't deserve a blessed marriage. You don't deserve finances. You don't deserve joy. That's what the enemy comes to do, to steal from you. But you are able to pull out and say, no, now faith is. I don't see it, but I'm going to come underneath that contract and I'm going to believe God until I can see it in my life. So you're walking with that covenant by faith in the dark. I'm in covenant. When you get out of faith, I'm not under covenant. I'm in fear. I'm in weary, anxiety, fighting with people, overwhelmed, right? Trying to survive. People that get out of covenant, you don't see them in church anymore. They're mad at the church. They're mad at God. Every other reason except for saying, hey, I have a responsibility to pull out my title deed and say, I am the ownership to the keys of the kingdom. Jesus gave me the keys of life and death. You have the title deed. God gave it to you. By faith, or verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are invisible. Talking about the world was framed from the very beginning. When God created the world, he spoke into existence what he wanted. Let there be light. And what happened? There was light. Right? Everything that God spoke, the worlds were framed by the word of God. I have the definition of that word frame somewhere. I don't know where. I got out of my notes because you guys got me all excited. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Okay, that word frame means there to arrange or to set in order, to adjust or to complete what is lacking, make fully ready, repair, or prepare. So what is that? God's saying that the world, that by faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God. Everything you need has been framed. It's been what? Anything that's been lacking has been framed by the word of God. Anything that you need made ready is framed by the word of God. Anything that you need restored or prepared or equipped is made by the word of God. Anything you need adjusted is framed by the word of God. By faith. So when you speak the word of God, that word framed is actually creating what you're missing. It's giving it back to you. Let's continue to go on. You guys don't have this, but I have this. I want to read this to you. By faith, Abel made a more excellent offering to the Lord. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. I want to read a couple of these. But verse 6, it says this. But without faith, I think they have it, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So when you're walking by faith and you're declaring the word of God, God is framing your world, restoring back to you what? Without faith, it's impossible for me to please him. So when you're outside of faith, when you're in negativity, when you're in your emotions and you're overwhelmed outside of the word, you are not moving the hand of God. I used to kind of get mad at my dad when he would say this. He'd be like, you know, emotions don't move God. And I'm like, yes, they do. He gave them to me. Because I'm like, I'm an emotional girl. You know, girls, not all girls are emotional. I'm an emotional. With the Lord, I'll cry to the Lord. You know, I'm very real with God. And I just felt like, God, that should move you in some way. Like, aren't you compassionate for me? But God doesn't move in our emotions as much as we want him to. He is a supernatural God. He says, if you want to please me, you want mountains to move, you have to walk by faith. You got to walk in what you don't see and what you don't hear and what you don't feel. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So when you're walking by faith and you're walking towards your vision, right, and what that restoration things is, he says you have to know when you move by faith, I'm a rewarder of your faith. There's nothing that you do for God that's in vain. There's not one step of faith that you take that's in vain. He's, I'm going to reward your faith. It may not be manifested yet, but there's a piece coming together at the other end of this tunnel. There's favor coming. There's the right connection. There's healing. There's joy. But somebody's just got to take that one step. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But Lord, you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Here's one more step, God. Without faith, it is impossible to please you. My flesh, my emotions, everything's resisting this, God. But without faith, I'm going to trust that you're a rewarder. And every step that you take, he's preparing that reward. He's preparing that restoration. He's preparing that healing. Those of you that weren't looking, you missed it. Okay, goes on to say, verse 7, by faith, Noah. So what were all these things? By faith, Abraham. All these men that are listed here in the Bible, they did things by faith. We can look and say, oh, Abraham. Abraham was so awesome. He's the father of many nations. We just think of him as this patriarch that didn't have any struggles. Abraham was human. Just as sure as Pastor Paul is sitting in that front row is how Abraham was. Just as real as you and I. People in the Bible are not supernatural figures that just live this, you know, life that was beyond the word or the hand of God. But Abraham, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. That's faith. You're walking out towards this breakthrough. I don't know where it's going. I know what I want, and I know the vision, but I don't quite know the journey. I'm walking by faith right now. I don't see him. And boy, the enemy wants to trip me up here and discourage me, but I'm going to walk by faith. And you keep walking. Abraham went to a place he did not know of, is what the Bible says. And by that action of faith, he became the father of many nations. Sarah's listening there. Verse 11, read chapter 11 this week in your studies. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Here, Abraham had the blessings, but Sarah had her own journey of discouragement. She had to have faith to conceive the child of God. We think, oh, come on. Sarah, you know, she's fine. She can have, you know, she's supernatural. She just wanted this, you know, she just wanted it. It was easy for her. No, Sarah had to walk by faith. Bible says Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She had to get strength from the Lord. She had to get that faith of God in her life that I'm going to have a son that's going to be, right, the legacy to Jesus. She had to conceive faith, and that's what God's called us to walk into is faith. Amen? Does that make sense? All right, let's open up to Nehemiah 8, and I'm going to close with this. Nehemiah, Esther, Job, and we'll be a couple weeks on this. Are you guys enjoying this series? Good. All right, Nehemiah. All right. In the story of Nehemiah, we're looking at, hang on one second. I need somebody come find Nehemiah for me, would you please? Just kidding. Elder, was somebody over there moving? In this study, in this part of Nehemiah, we find where Nehemiah was called to rebuild the walls, the tabernacle of God, and the people became very discouraged. Because as they were building the wall, the assignment of God, people came and mocked them. People came and discouraged them. People tried to stop the plan of God. I promise you, in your journey of restoration, there's going to be people sent by the enemy to try to discourage you, to try to mock you and make fun of you. And it will always be the people that you're closest to. Because it wouldn't really work or be effective if it was just anybody, let's say, on the job. They might annoy you. But what's going to affect the heart is somebody that's close to you. And the enemy is going to agitate people next to you to discourage you from that place of restoration. And that's what happened here in this study of Nehemiah. These people came along. They got a hold of Nehemiah's vision. We're going to rebuild the tabernacle. But along the way, they didn't anticipate all this discouragement. And this is where you find them in Nehemiah chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 8. And it says this: "So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave sense and helped them to understand the reading." Now, what I want you to see here is whatever you're going through, you have to have an understanding of where you're at. You've got to locate the season that you're in. He's trying to say, okay, this garbage is happening, but I need you to understand in the spirit what's really happening. And that's what God wants you to do, to press into that place of restoration. You have to get a revelation of what God is really doing. Don't worry about the discouraging people. Don't worry about those who don't understand your season. Get an understanding from the Word of God. That word understanding means to have a new perspective, what you can perceive or what you can grasp. So as you're believing for this restoration, get a new perspective. It's time to get a new viewpoint on life. Get a grasp on what God is really doing, amen? And it says this in verse 9. "And Nehemiah, who was governor Ezra, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people," listen to this, "this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." What is he trying to do? He's trying to say to them, this is not a time to be sorrowful. This is not a time to be discouraged. It's not a time to be defeated or weep. What did he say? "For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Verse 10, "Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." God wants you to shift your perception, what you are perceiving. Get a grasp and know that it is the time to rejoice. It is time to shout for joy. It is time to lift up your hands and receive what God has for you. God says, no more sorrow, no more depression, no more anxiety, no more worry. Change what you see, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when they got the joy of the Lord is when the wall was finally completed. When they received that joy, whenever you get into joy, and we'll learn more about this next Sunday, but whenever you choose joy, joy pushes you into the promises of God. And as soon as they said, I'm going to change being sorrowful, I'm going to choose every day to be happy, I'm going to choose every day the Word of God, I'm going to choose looking up to Jesus, and I'm going to choose the joy of the Lord to be my strength in my life. And when that happens, you will feel a spiritual shift take place in your life. And the Bible says that they went up on the top of their rooftops, and they built these walls. They're called sukkahs, I believe. Sukkot, S-U-K-K-O-T. That did not sound appropriate for church. I did not study Greek or Hebrew, so it comes out the best I can. S-U-K-K-O-T, on the rooftops. And what it was is they would build these three walls, and they would take branches for the roof, and they would go, instead of living in their homes, they would go on the rooftops, and you could see through the leaves and the branches, you could see the stars. And the reason why they would do that is because they would remember in that time where God brought them from. When they traveled in the wilderness and they had to set up the temple and tear it down and watch for enemies and set up the temple and tear it down and watch for enemies. He says, when you get into joy, I want you to remember what I've done for you. Remember the good things. And that's the first step of getting into joy, is to have a thankful heart. Have a thankful heart. Look back and write down the good things God's done for you. If I'd have never wrote down the 10 things that I wanted the Lord to do, I would have missed what he did. I would have missed, because they just happened here and then happened here and then happened here. But God wants you to remember and be thankful for the good things. I'll challenge you with this, and I'm closing. We'll get to this next week. But take every day, wake up, and write down 5 things that you can be thankful for. 5 things. And at first, it'll be challenging, because it's hard when you've always seen your life broken. When you've always had the glasses on where life didn't measure up to what you thought. Every day, five things. Next day, another five things. And all of a sudden, what used to be difficult for you to see the goodness of God will become very easy. You'll have these rose-colored glasses on, and when you see the good things of the Lord, guess what happens? Joy. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. So joy always comes with thanksgiving, and the joy gives you strength, and that strength gets you to restoration. Do you see how it all happens? Amen. Let's go ahead and close in prayer.